there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going, man? Yesterday's show was a blast.
It was. We've been getting a lot of good feedback on that one in regards to the names that we should call it, and I'm gonna withhold those until I gather more. But there's a few good ones out there that are definitely better than the name that I came up with. So, but if for whatever reason you missed that episode, go back and listen to the award show. It was so much fun.
If by good feedback you mean a bunch of people making fun of me, then yeah,
it was that's the feedback that matters. I mean, after that show, you deserve a lot of ridicule.
You know, I've actually had a lot of people tweet at me saying, like, hey, don't tell anyone this, but I haven't seen any of those movies either. I think Tags and Dan are big nerds. I'm telling everybody because there's a lot of people with me who don't, like, know everything about culture. They just love fantasy football. The best kind of people.
I don't know who these people are. I have no idea who these people are.
So we have another show, another fun show planned for today. We're going to be talking about early 2019 rankings, sleepers, then be given our playoff predictions. Tags, first though, I want to ask you one question. Say you're the GM of an NFL franchise, you need a head coach, you get to interview 3 people. Who are you calling?
Who am I calling? Honestly, it's really tough for me to say right now. There's like a lot of stale names out there in the NFL. I think a lot of people are going to be talking about, you know, Mike McCarthy is a big candidate. I have no idea why.
I mean, you're not interested in him though, right?
I'm not.
Like, you trying to get Bruce Arians back there, or are you going college coach?
I would try and get Bruce Arians back. I think that he's competent enough and he's willing to change his scheme a little bit as needed. Like, I would prefer, so the way I am with head coaches, it's like, I would rather take my shot on a young up and comer, maybe someone that's been a coordinator, someone that's been coming up the college ranks that wants to make the transition to the pros, just because, like, I would rather take the unknown than deal with a stagnant coach. Like, there's a reason that Marvin Lewis was just fired. Like, he never won a playoff game with the Bengals. Like, they had some talent on that roster over the years. He did nothing with it. Hugh Jackson is now getting interviewed for that job. Why? I don't know. I'm sorry, Bengals fans. That's all I could say. You know, if Mike McCarthy were to get the Browns job, it's going to stunt development on that side. Like,
can you imagine how mad Baker Mayfield would be?
Yeah, I'm just so tired of, like, apparently Mike McCarthy's like the front runner for the Jets job, but I just don't understand, like, why there is such, like, an inner circle that the NFL feels like they can't go outside of. Like, you're recycling these coaches that have shown that they have the inability to make it work. Like, Mike McCarthy had Aaron friggin' Rodgers, and he can't do anything. So what makes you think he's going to be able to do something with Sam Darnold?
Amazing. Yeah, it does not make any sense. Well, he does have a Super Bowl, don't you know, Tags? Here's my list. I've got 5 of them, okay? Number 1 is Mike Leach, the coach out of Washington State. Tags, have you seen his interviews?
No, I have not seen any of his interviews.
I mean, obviously, he's a really good coach, but he just reminds me so much of Popovich in basketball, Belichick, Nick Saban. He's just one of those kind of minds. I would love to see him let loose on the NFL.
Very cool. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'll take the unknown. I'll take someone coming up. And if that's the thing is, like, those coaches usually accept like a 2 or 3 year deal. And it's like, you don't have to commit very much to them and see what they have. And you might just find the next Sean McVay.
I don't think Mike Leach is really interested, though, and he's not as young as Sean McVay, so I'd move on to David Shaw out of Stanford. I mean, frankly, guys, he's been better than Jim Harbaugh at Stanford, and he's not a giant weirdo like Harbaugh, so I think he'd do really well. Super well-spoken and just seems like a good guy as well. Mike Munchak, I know I've got a lot of pushback on this one.
Yeah.
He used to be the coach for the Titans, but listen to this. He had 9 wins with a 36-year-old Matt Hasselbeck. Then he made the most out of having Jake Locker as his quarterback. I think he deserves another chance. He's a great offensive line coach for Pittsburgh. I'd love to see him get a job.
But is he, that's the thing, is he a difference maker? Like, I want a difference maker at a coach. I don't want, like...
See, I think that's Leach and Shaw. I don't know if there's any others out there unless you can get Saban, but I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving. So the thing is, like, with me is, like, Lovie Smith, for example, right? He was with the Bears for a long time. He was fired. You know, he did well as a head coach, but he wasn't a difference maker. Like, he did not change the team. Like, he didn't change the entire makeup. He didn't propel them to the next level. People can make excuses all they want, but, like, you have to be a difference maker for me. And that's the thing is, that's why Lovie Smith is now no longer in the NFL, is because he's not a difference maker. So, I mean, I feel like Adam Gase is a sharp guy, but at the same time, he's made so many questionable decisions. I can't put him on my list. I think he might be better as an offensive coordinator. I think there's some guys that actually just are better that way. Josh McDaniels might be one of those guys who's better as a coordinator. I'm not going to write him off just yet. I'm not going to say that.
He's so young, too.
Yeah, he is really young, and you know, I like those young guys because they're willing to adapt. And like a lot of those older coaches, like the Jeff Fisher, the Marvin Lewis's, they're unwilling to change their ways, and it's stunted the growth of the team, and it's stagnant, and you have to adjust to today's game. So
I got two others. Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts, has done an awesome job this year. Not much talent on that Colts defense, but they have been awesome. And then number 5, Pat Fitzgerald. He's the head coach for Northwestern. And I don't know if anyone's gotten more out of rosters than Pat Fitzgerald over the years. And he has the best quality that any coach can have. He's a delegator. He does not micromanage at all. I think that would translate really well to any NFL head coach. So I'd like to see him get a shot too.
I have no issue with these things. Fitzgerald, apparently that's not going to happen though. This past weekend, I think that he announced that he is not going anywhere, that he's there for life. He's not going anywhere. So
yeah, well, Brad Stevens said that in basketball too with Butler. And look where he is now. He's with Boston. Just needs the right situation.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I don't know. These college coaches, it could be very hit or miss. And it's like, it's tough to say with like a Packers job where you have a team that's like, you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, nearing the end of his career. And it's like, you don't want to go through this again. Like, you don't want to waste his prime. And that's like one team where I don't know. I think Bruce Arians there would make sense.
Oh, I would love Mike Leach there. I would be so happy.
But that's, there's still a lot of uncertainties though. Like, I'm talking about like uncertainties with a team that like the Jets, like, for example, or like the Cardinals. Like, find someone out there that can build that team and change the identity. Whereas like with Rodgers, I mean, McDaniels makes sense there for me, just because he's had a little bit of head coaching experience. He obviously knows how to run an offense.
Knows how to work with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, with the other GOAT.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, that's where I think the Packers are in a unique situation.
All right, so like I said, we're going to get in 2019 rankings here in just a second, and that's going to be a lot of fun. First, though, I want to talk about one of the sponsors of today's show, Pristine Auction. If you guys haven't checked out Pristine Auction, they're the site that we're doing these giveaways through, and we just gave away a signed David Johnson jersey. That went to Jeb in Tennessee. Congratulations again to him. But Pristine Auction, they've got hundreds of items that they auction off every day. Everything is guaranteed authentic from the most trusted sources. I know Tags and I both have a lot of stuff from their tags. I'm getting the itch to buy something else.
And like, honestly, coming up now in the off season, like, it's the best time for you to get like steals, because people will kind of forget about football for a little bit. And I'm telling you, in the off season is when I get my best deals on pristineauction.com.
Yeah, there's always good deals. Like, every day, if you're paying attention, you'll find something.
For sure.
I saw a signed Stephon Diggs jersey for just $64 yesterday. I saw a signed Kurt Warner helmet. This is really sharp. A Hall of Fame quarterback for $116. Guys, that is a steal. If you look out for yourself, you're going to find something for your cave and you're going to love it. Again, that's pristineauction.com. PRISTINE. When you buy something from them, make sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. All right, man, let's talk some 2019 rankings, and I want to start with the number one overall pick. Is there anyone else you'd consider over Gurley at first overall?
I still have Gurley there. Actually, Pat Fitzmaurice had me on his podcast that he does just the other day, and we talked about that, and he said Saquon Barkley is going to be his number one pick, and I understand it to an extent, but here's the thing. Okay. I always want to tie my running back to a high scoring offense. And, you know, to know what Saquon Barkley overcame this year with incompetent quarterback play, incompetent offensive line play, you know, Odell Beckham missing some time, which obviously allows the defense to, you know, concentrate on the run game. There's like so many things that he overcame. Do I want to bet on that happening again? I don't want to bet on him breaking the odds again. I would rather just say, I'm going to take the odds, and I'm going to take the guy that's attached to Sean McVay's offense, a guy that's going to score, you know, he's almost like guaranteed to score 15 touchdowns, provided he stays healthy. So Todd Gurley, to me, is the clear-cut number one pick. After him, Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott are very close.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we need to talk about this Antonio Brown news, right? Apparently he's demanding a trade. He got in a fight with Big Ben. We touched on it yesterday, but I mean, you remember middle of the season when he said something along the lines of, you know, I would dominate on a different team too. Just trade me and see what happens. Do you think there was something going on then as well? Then he missed practice the next day?
I think Antonio Brown, you know, it's funny. I think we had this conversation on a podcast earlier this year where, like, you know, you're saying Antonio Brown is not selfish. And I was like, I think they all are. I think he's a diva. Like, a lot of these wide receivers, these top tier wide receivers, it's all about me. And that's the reason they're as great as they are. You know, to see Julio Jones not like that, you know, it's saying something, because he's never been all about me, even though he did hold out this offseason for a bigger contract. That's the business side of things. But Antonio Brown, I mean, now that this has come out, so many people are raising their hands saying, yep, I saw this coming. Yep, I was a former teammate of him. Yep, there's been multiple situations, like missing practice when your team is in like a must-win game. It's unacceptable. And like, the thing is, Antonio Brown is so talented. A lot of people were comparing him to Jerry Rice and that he would be great for a long time. People say that there's no coincidence that this happened with Roethlisberger and the fact that he missed practice after Juju Smith-Schuster was named the team MVP. So it's like, there's so much going on here. I don't think Antonio Brown gets traded. They would have to wait until after June 1st to do it, because otherwise they'd be responsible for, I think it's like a $20 million cap hit. So if it does happen, it's not going to happen for a long time. And
maybe. I mean, they would be responsible for that. But let's say they find another team who has all this cap money wrapped up in someone that also wants to trade. I'm looking at Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Fournette.
I think it doesn't matter, because like, the way that the contract is structured, they have to eat it just because it counts against their cap. They can't pass it off.
Yeah, but if both teams are eating $20 million, it's essentially like nobody's eating anything.
I don't know if it's possible. That's the thing, is like, I don't think you can trade away the dead money.
Well, you can't trade away the dead money. What I'm saying is if the Jags are eating $20 million and the Steelers are eating $20 million and then they're both paying $7 million in salary, then they're both paying $27 million as they would have been anyway.
I mean, yeah, well, that's a weird one, because like, Leonard Fournette and Antonio Brown, like, those guys aren't going to be swapped.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah. I don't see those guys being swapped for each other.
Yeah. I'm just saying there could be something along the lines of something like that out there. So let's say Antonio Brown does leave, though. Does his stock take a big hit being away from Big Ben?
It wouldn't help. It surely wouldn't help. You know, he gets targeted from Roethlisberger so much. It's hard to find wide receivers who get targeted as much as Antonio Brown has. But if somebody does take him on, you know, you're taking on that wide receiver one mentality, that diva mentality, and you're going to have to target him. So it's hard to say. It's not to say that he's going to fall off wide receiver one territory, but I don't think he automatically goes to a team that has a top five quarterback. I mean, if he goes to the Packers, I guess, but I don't think that's going to happen. So
we were just talking yesterday about how, like, we don't think Big Ben is that top five quarterback or anything, but there is something to be said about having chemistry with a guy. And obviously Big Ben and Antonio Brown, when you talk about chemistry, those are the two guys that come up. But you have to also consider the Steelers have always had so many weapons. Le'Veon Bell was there catching a ton of passes. They've always had all these great wide receivers. Maybe he goes to a team, he gets 220 targets. You never know, man. I don't know. I don't think his stock would take a hit, in my opinion.
I think it does at his age, his advanced age, going to a new offense. I think there's a lot that changes there. Even now, even if he stays in Pittsburgh, he's not my number one receiver next year.
Actually, I was just going to ask, who is your number one receiver? Is it Adams? Hopkins?
It is Davante Adams, and it's not even that close for me. So Antonio Brown is down at number five for me, and I think you can make the case for him to fall to number six. But Davante Adams is the number one for me. The reason is, obviously, he finishes the number one in weeks 1 through 16 this year. That's like the fantasy season. He finished number one. But the fact that he finished number one while Aaron Rodgers had a down season in regards to his touchdowns, it tells you all that you need to know. Like, that Green Bay offense wasn't moving in the right direction. They're going to get a new head coach. It's probably going to be, I would imagine they're going to move towards a more offensive minded coach, somebody that can help bring, like, you know, bring out the talent in that offense. But Davante Adams, there is no other receiver on that roster who's going to take his spot. They're not going to go out there and get a big name free agent because they have Davante Adams. If they draft a wide receiver, we've seen how that worked. The Packers don't spend high equity on wide receivers. The last time they did was Davante Adams. But again, wide receivers with chemistry with Aaron Rodgers and a guy who should take a step forward in a new offense under a new head coach, I just feel like Devontae Adams is the safest player out there to draft. And, you know, when you're looking at the first round receivers, you want someone who's safe, who's going to produce if he's healthy. And Devontae Adams is just that.
If I was guaranteed 16 healthy games from every wide receiver, I would put Odell Beckham in the conversation. But right now I've got him at number 7. I think that's probably where most people are going to have him just because he's the Leonard Fournette of wide receivers. You can pretty much expect 2-3 games missed from his schedule, maybe even longer. I love the talent. If he's healthy in the fantasy playoffs, there's not many players I'd rather have. With that said, I've got him outside my top 5. Juju Smith-Schuster's right there as well. I've got him at number 5, Antonio Brown at number 6. My top 4, I've got Julio Jones number 1, Adams number 2, Hopkins number 3, Thomas number 4.
Like, mine is Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, and Antonio Brown. You could swap Odell Beckham with Antonio Brown if you want. You know, some people are actually having the conversation that Juju Smith-Schuster should be above Antonio Brown.
That's what I've got, yeah.
I'm not in that group just yet because I think that you saw, even with Antonio Brown out in week 17, Juju Smith-Schuster didn't like blow up against a weak Cincinnati defense. He had a much better game when Antonio Brown was on the field. I think Juju Smith-Schuster's stock would take a hit if Antonio Brown left. And I know that a lot of people don't believe that, but I do. I don't think that Juju is built for a number one wide receiver role. I think that he excels in the role he's doing. You know, would he get a little bit more volume? Yeah, but his efficiency would definitely go down. So for me right now, I have Juju as my number 13 wide receiver. I have him like that high-end wide receiver 2. I would rather have someone like T.Y. Hilton over Juju.
Okay. Wow, that is really kind of crazy of you, man.
I think that they both come with upside, but I think Hilton has the more clear-cut role. I think Andrew Luck, you know, year 2 in Frank Reich's offense. It depends on if the Colts add somebody, because if the Colts add someone at wide receiver, like Andrew Luck, I mean, come on. Like, to know Andrew Luck did what he did this year, like with who the surrounding talent in that roster. I know the offensive line, like they spent a ton of equity to build the offensive line. It worked. And Andrew Luck is paying dividends. But looking at who he's been throwing to, like Dontrell Inman's his number 2 receiver. Chester Rogers is his number 3. Like, these guys are not, like, they're not guys that are going to be on the NFL rosters without Andrew Luck. So, but yeah, as of right now, as things sit right now, I would rather have T.Y. Hilton.
So you brought up T.Y. Hilton, and I've got a stat. This is from one of our featured writers, Ryan Malosi. Stats over a 16-game pace. We've got T.Y. Hilton, more receptions than Tyreek Hill, more yards than Tyreek Hill, more targets than Tyreek Hill. The only difference is touchdowns. Is T.Y. Hilton going to be underdrafted next year?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's tough to say because, like, I think he fits in with a group of wide receivers. Like, I would put Juju in the conversation. I put Brandon Cooks in that conversation. I think you could say Robert Woods, Stephon Diggs, Kenny Galladay. Like, those guys are all in, like, this giant tier, right?
I think Juju's way above that tier, man.
I don't think so. Like, that's the thing is I still feel like people, like, it's so funny to me because I was high on Juju Smith-Schuster coming out of school. And so, like, to see people so down on him after the draft, falling to the late first round, early second round in dynasty rookie drafts, I was kind of like, I don't know why people are hating on this guy. Like, he's going to be good. And now I think people are kind of like going too far the other way where it's like, yes, he had some massive games, but.
And he's really cool.
He is. He's an awesome dude.
I think that's the reason people are really high on him, but I'm really high on him because of the production.
The production is good, but that's what I'm saying. If Antonio Brown, like, was not there, it would hurt him more than people realize. And Antonio Brown, if he's still there, I still think Antonio Brown's the alpha dog. And because they can't have those problems in the locker room, it's possible that Juju, maybe I'm too low having him at number 13.
Yes, way too low.
I don't think I could put him above Tyreek Hill. I can't put him up ahead of AJ Green. I mean, Amari Cooper, it's close between those two, but I that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that I can put him above those guys.
You know what I like to look at is in the second half, what did the players do? Because, you know, this is more likely what they're going to do in the future, right? What's happened more recently tends to be more predictive than what's happened over the course of an entire season. You got Julio Jones, far and away the number one wide receiver in the second half. 162 half PPR points. Number 2 was all the way down at 145. It was Antonio Brown. You got Tyreek Hill tied with him. Juju Smith-Schuster, half a point behind them. Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans. That list looks pretty good to me.
I get that, but the thing is, he still has low lows, if that makes sense. And that's why I wouldn't put Amari Cooper in the elite conversation.
So you're saying, like, because he's not guaranteed 12, 15 PPR points every week, like Julio Jones, Beckham, Brown.
Correct. That's reserved for those guys. Like, Amari Cooper's not in that conversation because he hasn't shown the ability to do that just yet. But yeah, so Juju, there was, 5 games with 40 or less yards this year. So it's like he does not show up from time to time. And like I said, with Antonio Brown out in week 17, he saw 10 targets against the Bengals, finished with 37 yards. Fortunately, he scored a touchdown with that to prop up his stats. But again, I just think that the lows are a little too low. And that's why I think if you were to tell me Juju is right behind that elite tier, I'm fine with that. Like, I can shift those rankings around. But I just, like, literally just projecting and saying who's safest, who gives me a decent floor. I tend to lean, like, a floor over ceiling most of the time. But if it's, like, a tiebreaker, like, as you get further down the list, you go for upside. But as I'm towards the top of the wide receivers, like the top 10, I want those guys to be sure things, like, every single week.
All right, man, I want to go back to running backs really quick. We both agree that Gurley's number one. In PPR, I would consider someone else. And I want to ask you who your number two is, and then I'll show you who mine is.
Yeah, PPR, it's still Gurley for me at number one. Barkley is number two. Zeke, the top three for me are pretty easy with Gurley, Barkley, and Zeke. And then Kamara might get into that conversation, because if you guys don't know, Mark Ingram is going to be, he's a free agent after this year. The Saints had him out there in week 17 where Kamara was resting. And if you go back to the first four games of this year, you saw Kamara was a stud. Like,
could be a workhorse, yeah, maybe for a full season.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is just like, I do believe that Alvin Kamara, if Mark Ingram goes and they don't bring in someone of significance, like, you know, like maybe they bring in a body, someone like a CJ Anderson, like someone to help shoulder the workload so Kamara doesn't get 20 carries a game, that's fine. But I still think that he would be in the conversation for like the top four running backs.
Did you see CJ Anderson talking about running backs don't matter and then saying, you know, running backs do matter, we're just really good? Him and Todd Gurley. I thought that was awesome. I really like CJ Anderson. I really hope he gets a full-time gig somewhere, cause he's not got a good rap, but he's a good player, man.
You know what's funny? I know this is going to push some wrong buttons to some people out there. You know, the RBs don't matter crowd.
Me? I'm in that.
Well, okay. So I am not part of that crowd. I've been saying that for a long time. I think some people overvalue running backs, but here's my question for those. So for you, Bobby, then, since you're part of that crowd, why was everybody whining when Jamal Williams was getting more carries than Aaron Jones if they don't matter?
Well, because of fantasy football.
But if they're getting the same opportunity, what does it matter? Because running backs don't matter.
I mean, there's absolutely a difference. There's value above replacement. Like,
yes, that's...
Okay, so we pretty much agree, right? We say that it's entirely overvalued, but like the difference between Saquon Barkley and Jamal Williams is light years.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But saying running backs don't matter, like that's a bold statement. They don't matter. And they do matter. If you put any other running back behind that Giants offensive line this year, do they produce like Saquon Barkley?
Not even close. But you're saying that Jalen Samuels is as good as Le'Veon Bell then?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay. So we pretty much agree. We're somewhere in the middle.
Right. That's the thing.
They do matter, but it's like you should never draft one in the first round, let alone the first five picks.
Exactly. And that's the thing is like, I think I'm too much of a logical person when it comes down to like heated debates where there's two extremes, right? There's people like, oh yeah, they should have definitely drafted Saquon Barkley at number two. I am not in that conversation. I am not part of that group, but I am also not part of the group that says running backs don't matter.
Like there are Chris Carsons who can get really late in drafts and Philip Lindsay. That doesn't mean like, well, you can just go out and get a sixth round running back and he can definitely be your star.
Right. And running backs, by the way, I do want to make this clear. Running backs are not very vital to your team's success. And that is why I would not draft a running back at number two. They are not vital to it.
In real life, not fantasy. In fantasy, yes, draft them all top five.
Yes. Yes, definitely having a real life conversation here.
Just want to make sure no one gets the wrong impression here.
No, for sure. I get that. And that's the thing. I just want to make it clear that running backs do matter. It was like a question I wanted to ask those people. I just wanted to be like, then why were you complaining when Aaron Jones was playing behind Jamal Williams? Like,
it's a really good question, man.
Because they do matter. It doesn't matter a whole lot to a team's success. Like it does, but it doesn't. But yes, you understand my point. So I'm glad that we came to an agreement here.
All right. So in PPR, I would consider taking Christian McCaffrey, and in standard, Christian McCaffrey is my number two player. And you're talking about Alvin Kamara. Like, what if he is a workhorse? Well, we've already got Iron Man here. I don't know why they would change anything when he was an absolute monster. Second half of the season, listen to this, okay? You've got Ezekiel Elliott, 25 PPR points per game. Saquon Barkley, 22. Todd Gurley, 22. Alvin Kamara, 21. Nobody else was even above 18, okay? You've got Christian McCaffrey at 28. Once they realized they can just give this guy the ball 30 times a game, he was far and away the best fantasy player, not even close.
You know what's crazy is that we just talked about the whole idea. I'm glad this came up now because we just talked about the idea that a running back, you know, the success that translate or does not translate to a team success. And if you go and look at it, the Panthers' decline, and I'm not blaming Christian McCaffrey. I know there's going to be people out there saying, Mike, he did everything he was supposed to do. He did. Christian McCaffrey was awesome, okay? But the decline of that team coincided when Christian McCaffrey started racking up all these fantasy points. It's when Cam Newton stopped being Cam Newton.
Well, I think it was because of the average depth of target by Newton when he was hurt.
Well, right, and that's the thing. It's like it's because Cam Newton wasn't Cam Newton anymore. Like, he stopped being the quarterback that demanded defenses, like, respect him and, like, you know, and like, a dual threat, where it's just, like, teams were willing to let Christian McCaffrey kind of rack up his yardage and, like, okay, we'll beat you. That's fine. We'll give that. But Christian McCaffrey, they've talked about this, about next year, about how they're going to bring in someone to take some of that workload away from him, that he cannot carry the workload that he did this year. And it's smart on their part.
I think you're right. But even so, like, let's say he takes a 15% drop off from where he was at the end of the year. A 15% drop off still, in my mind, makes him the number two running back.
I have him at number six. I have him behind Melvin Gordon. So I'm fine with Christian McCaffrey in first rounds. I'm not going to sit here and argue with people about it. Like he proved himself and all that. But I do think there's some regression in there, and I'm not going to buy the ceiling. Is all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, you didn't last year, and now you're going to be eating buttered pizza.
That's very true. Joe Mixon, I put too much faith in Marvin Lewis.
Okay. So tight end. We've talked about this just a little bit. But how high are you on Kelce, knowing that Ertz and Kittle are both out there? Would you take all three of these guys in the top 20?
I would not. I've gone through this and, like, to try to figure it out. And, like, I think you could make a case there's, like, 10 running backs who should be selected ahead of them. There is at least six wide receivers that should go before them. So it's, like, that's when the conversation starts with Kelce for me. Like, if you tell me you want to draft Kelce in the middle of the second round, I'd be like, okay, I mean, I could see it, depending on how deep your league is. If you only start two wide receivers, two running backs, abso-friggin-lutely, I'll take Kelce there. If you start three wide receivers and two flex spots, like, that gets a little bit more dicey.
If he was a wide receiver, number seven or number eight wide receiver this past year.
For sure. And he stayed healthy, too, so that obviously helps. I do expect some regression in Patrick Mahomes' numbers.
And Watkins will be back.
Yeah, Watkins should come back. Hopefully he's healthy. This foot issue, they're probably going to bring in another running back of some sort. But yeah, I mean, I do like Kelce an awful lot, and I would draft him for sure, like, at the end of the second round. But you could probably talk me into taking him at the middle of the second. But, you know, we talked about this a little bit during the award show, and I think, like, I'm probably going to end up missing out on the Kelces, the Ertz, and the Kittles, because they're going to go, I promise you, Bobby, by the time the ADP settles in, we're going to see Kittle probably at the top of the third round, and that's...
Oh, I'll take him before then, man.
I'm not saying it's bad value. I think it's fine. But I think you'll be able to get O.J. Howard in the fifth or the sixth. I think you'll be able to get Hunter Henry in that same territory. Eric Ebron's probably going to fall to the sixth with Jack Doyle coming back. David Njoku, the second year with Baker Mayfield under...
You want to start David Njoku?
By the way, if you are listening to this right now and you are in a dynasty format, go and trade for David Njoku. I promise you his value is going to skyrocket. He's tied to a phenomenal quarterback.
Maybe, or maybe he'll just continue to be a streamer.
Look at the roster around Baker Mayfield. Look what he did, okay? So Baker, like, literally became a QB1, like, overnight. And he did it with Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins, Antonio Callaway as his wide receivers. The running back, Nick Chubb, he's fine in the passing game, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. You're not going to confuse him for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, maybe Duke Johnson will be back next year, though.
Yeah, well, Duke is going to be back. They extended him.
Like, depending on who their coach is, they might realize they have a really good football player.
But David Njoku is such a freak. He is a physical specimen where people, I mean, would I be shocked if David Njoku was in the elite conversation next year? Absolutely not.
Okay. Wow. Oh, well, I'm not going to be drafting him. I'm going to be drafting one of the top three or Hunter Henry. The only four wide receivers I could take over Kelce, Adams, Hopkins, Julio Jones, and Thomas. The list ends there. I would rather have Kelce than Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster or Odell Beckham.
Wow. I mean, that's bold, man. I mean, I'll give you props for, like, being bold about it. Real quick question.
I'm not trying to be bold. Like, I don't want props for that. I want to win my fantasy football league. I think Kelsey's going to help you. I mean, like I said on yesterday's show, he was my MVP this season. If you had Kelce, you loved it.
You have the stones to say that you would take Travis Kelce at the end of the first round.
Not at the end of the first round. I mean, I've got all these running backs I'd rather have. Gurley, McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon. I'd take all those guys over Kelce.
Wow. So you would take all those guys over the wide receivers, Antonio Brown and Beckham?
I would, yeah.
Woo! To me, that's even more bold. Like, I appreciate you saying that you'd take Kelce over some of those guys, but the running backs get to a point where it's like, I don't think I could do it. Like, some of those running backs I couldn't take over guys like Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham.
Okay. I think my ideal first like three rounds next year, I would love to have this happen. Okay. I'd get like the fourth pick and I take whoever's there out of Gurley, Barkley, Elliott, McCaffrey. And then I want Dalvin Cook in the second round. And I want George Kittle in the third round. If I can start with those three, I'm going to win every league.
Here's a question for you. Let's pretend that Tom Brady returns next year and that Rob Gronkowski returns. I think there's still a chance that Brady retires as well. But Gronk, a lot of people are expecting him to retire this offseason. If he returns to play, where do you have him ranked among tight ends? I currently have him at number 9 if he plays, and I don't even feel great about it.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, is he going to play? I don't think you can expect him to. You got Kelce, Ertz, Kittle. Those are the top three, obviously. I've got Hunter Henry and Eric Ebron about tied. O.J. Howard is my number 6, and it's not even close. After that, I think I would consider Gronk. It's him, Njoku, and Ingram in the next tier.
Yep, that's exact. I have it Njoku, Ingram, and then Gronkowski, but I'm with you. That's the tier. And I think O.J. Howard, Henry, and Ebron belong in a similar tier as well.
I wouldn't feel bad about having any of those guys. If it gets past that tier and you get to tight end 10, you're looking at Chris Herndon or Jared Cook. Oh, man, you might as well quit.
Yeah, I don't have Chris Herndon that high. I think that's when the point where I get to the Trey Burtons, the Jack Doyles, Jared Cook, Delanie Walker is going to return. Like, those, that's like the next tier. And like, those are the guys where it's like.
So you would have two Colts tight ends in your top 12.
I mean, if they don't add a wide receiver, yeah. I mean, we saw Doyle and Ebron producing when they were on the field together. So, I mean, it's hard to ignore them. Delanie Walker might be a forgotten man. Like, that guy was consistently a top 6 tight end.
We need to keep forgetting him. He's really old, dude.
He is old. I mean, I think he's going to be 36, 37. I can't remember his exact age right now, but he's older for sure. But I think they were both right in that we would prefer to have one of the top 9 tight ends, maybe top 8. But yeah, after that, it gets a little messy, and then you're going to end up just streaming tight ends.
So what's your ideal top 3 rounds?
My ideal top three rounds? I'm definitely going to walk away with at least one of the elite running backs, ideally.
I want names. I want you to tell me your best scenario 3 names.
Well, it depends on where you're drafting from.
Where do you want to draft? What's the best draft spot?
I typically like to be around like the... I want to be either at the top or in the middle. I don't like being at the 12th spot. I know some people like the turn. I don't like it. I would prefer to be at the top. Like, give me one of those top 3 picks or give me 6.
Okay.
You pick which one and I'll tell you my ideal draft.
All right. You have the 3rd pick.
I have the 3rd pick. So Gurley and Barkley are going to go. I will take Ezekiel Elliott in the 1st round. And then we get to the 2nd round. I am probably looking at...
You can't take Dalvin Cook. I already took him.
I might be able to get Aaron Jones there.
Okay.
And I would probably take him. And then the 3rd round, that might be where you can get T.Y. Hilton.
Okay. That's a good team. It's not as good as mine, but you can get 2nd place.
Yeah. I mean, as you can see, I'm just I like Zeke. Obviously, he's just like a stud every single year. That offense should get better. And then like tying my, like Aaron Jones to a top 6 scoring offense, depending on what they do at coordinator and, you know, what they look like this offseason. Aaron Jones, he could be like one of those guys where it's like James Conner, where it's like he gets unleashed in 2019 and like he finishes as a top 6 running back and nobody's surprised.
Can you imagine if they use him in the passing game as like, I'm not going to say like Christian McCaffrey, but like Christian McCaffrey light, because he can catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like they get an actual offense in there.
Yeah, and it's possible, by the way, it's possible depending on how people view Aaron Jones this offseason, because I don't see him listed in anybody's top 10 running backs. So like if I got Zeke and then if I got AJ Green in the 2nd round, he's going to fall there in a lot of cases. I'll still take AJ Green. Like he's a consistent producer. And then like in the 3rd round, maybe Aaron Jones is there. And if not, I mean, you could look at someone like Sony Michel.
If I'm going in an auction league next year, I have to get Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones. If you get those 3, there's so much depth. Like,
why are you attached to, I think we should have a further conversation about this. Why are you attached to Dalvin Cook?
Why am I attached to Dalvin Cook? Because Latavius Murray's leaving. Dalvin Cook was the single most efficient running back in football this year. He just didn't get that many touches. And the reason why is because Murray's there. They're trying to ease him back in. Dalvin Cook was a beast before the injury. He's going to be a beast when he's let loose next year. Dalvin Cook's like my guy next year.
I'm really like, I'm worried about the offensive line. I still think it's going to be crap. Like, I think that they've invested so much in the offensive line, they kind of have to stick with what they have. I hope they admit their mistakes and say that, you know, kind of go the Colts route and say, we need to rebuild this. We need to protect Kirk Cousins because he obviously is terrible under pressure and Dalvin Cook needs to be able to run the ball. I still do also believe that they're going to bring in another running back, whether it be bringing Latavius Murray back or drafting another running back, because I don't think they want Dalvin Cook to shoulder that workload.
They've got Rock Thomas, man. I know yeah. You're joking, but I love Rock Thomas.
No, a lot of people do, and he's more of like that third down back. He's like a specialist, but I don't think Minnesota views Dalvin Cook as like a guy they want to give 20 touches a game to, and it's unfortunate because I do think he's talented. I don't think he's a top five running back in football, but he's talented. I just feel like Minnesota knows that he's been somewhat fragile his first 2 years, and I think because of that, they're going to add another running back.
By the way, I mentioned Rock Thomas, and everyone likes to talk about like Michael Vick or Calvin Johnson or, you know, Kyler Murray, what these guys did in high school. Look at their highlight films and everything. Those are amazing. But the single best high school highlight film I've ever seen is Rock Thomas, and you guys need to go see this. Just go into YouTube, type in Rock Thomas highlights for high school, and you are going to be blown away. Like, Tags, I don't know if you've seen this yet. It's like Barry Sanders. Every single play, you will be laughing at just how good he was.
I'm going to be completely honest. I have never watched high school film for football.
You have to go watch Rock Thomas high school film, because I swear, this isn't like the Marshawn Lattimore caught it with his butt cheeks argument that we had. this is real. Rock Thomas high school film is hilarious because he's so good.
I believe it. There's some Lamar Jackson highlights out there too from when he was younger. But I the thing is, high school, there's such a talent gap. College, it shrinks a little bit, and then the NFL obviously shrinks like to not like very nothing. But I'm sure it is pretty fun to watch. I'm sure he can make people look pretty silly.
So we have this free contest. We talked about it on yesterday's show that we were gonna have details for you. Tags, you want to tell them about the DK promo we have going on?
Yeah, so we're going to obviously give you more details tomorrow. We're going to give you a little bit of advice on what we do tomorrow in the DFS show, but we do have a free wildcard DFS contest that serves as a qualifier for the DraftKings Sports Betting National Championship. Okay, so first place in our contest will get an entry into that. All right, all you have to do right now is go to fantasypros.com/contest, and you can obviously see how you're entered to win that. That first place that gets the entry into the DraftKings Sports Betting National Championship, that's a $10,000 value and also includes hotel and travel expenses to New Jersey.
That's amazing, man. I want to win this bad boy.
Hell yes. Once in New Jersey, the entrants for the Sports Betting National Championship get a bankroll of $5,000 to work with. Whoever turns that into the high bankroll via real bets over a 3-day period wins $1 million.
Oh, man.
There are other prizes as well, totaling up to $2.5 million.
What a great idea.
This is awesome, man. Like, I obviously, you guys, if you're listening to this podcast, like, make sure you get in on this. It's a free contest to have your chance to win $1 million in travel, you know, everything covered. So a free wildcard DFS entry serves as a qualifier. So make sure to enter that as soon as you guys hear this. Go to fantasypros.com/contest.
Man, that's really good. That is really cool.
Yup.
That might be even cooler than the Rock Thomas high school highlight film.
And we're going to be doing our DFS show tomorrow, and I've been working on the primer this week, and I feel good, man. I feel like I've literally gone through every single player, through the prices on DraftKings, and we'll give some advice on that tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to get to those NFL playoff predictions here in just a second. I have a few more questions about 2019 fantasy drafts. We talked about Mahomes on last show, where we would take him, you know, late third round, early fourth, if he lasted that far. He's not going to. He's going to be drafted in the early second round. But who's your QB2? Is it Aaron Rodgers?
people are going to be, like, super mad at me, and I'm ready for it. I have Rodgers at number one. I have Mahomes at number two.
You are the man, Tags.
I think they are number one. That's the best way I could put it. I'm not going to take this 1 year from Rodgers as like a standard going forward. I feel like there were injuries in this roster that were beyond out of his control. He had no chemistry with the wide receivers who were behind them. Like he had no work in the preseason with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, with Equanimeous St. Brown. These guys were like third string wide receivers. You know, that offensive line was dinged up throughout the year. The offense play calling was terrible. It's been terrible for a long time. So I think it's very possible we see Aaron Rodgers unleashed depending on who they hire as an offensive coach. Like if they bring in Josh McDaniels, which by the way, that's my prediction, that Josh McDaniels becomes the Packers coach.
That'd be perfect.
And if that happens, you could see Aaron Rodgers unleashed in 2019. And we have a history to go off of with Aaron Rodgers as a top three fantasy quarterback every single year. I know this was a down year, but again, don't take a 1 year sample size and use that as the standard going forward. We are not playing 2018 over again.
But it wasn't really a down year. I mean, he had two interceptions. It was one of his most efficient seasons of all time. He threw the ball 600 times. The only difference was his touchdown rate, 4.2. His career rate's 6.4 before this season. If you just, well, we talk about regression of, you know, Deshaun Watson. That was an obvious one. Matt Ryan the year before. Of course they're going to come back down to life. Of course Aaron Rodgers is going to go back up towards his career norm. We'd be looking at 40 touchdowns, 4,400 yards, 2 interceptions. He runs the ball as well. Nobody in their right mind would consider Aaron Rodgers a bust. The only difference is touchdown rate.
Yeah, and we talked about that with Deshaun Watson. People wanted to draft Deshaun Watson as the number one quarterback this year, which we were obviously against. I said that I still had him as a top six guy, but I wouldn't draft him where he was going. I kind of feel like that's where I'm at with Mahomes. I think that Mahomes is going to be better than Watson. That's why I have Mahomes at number two. But I know where he's being drafted. I won't own any because I'm telling you. Like, so going back to watch Rodgers, he missed some throws, and the reason I say it's a down year because I've watched Aaron Rodgers throughout his entire career, and there's a reason I say he's the greatest of all time, because like what he does with the football, it's like a magician. Like, he puts the ball exactly where he wants to most of the time. And the thing is, you know, when announcers talk about it, it drives me nuts. And I've talked about this like probably a year ago on the podcast. It drives me nuts when I see Cam Newton throw a ball 40 yards down the field and they're like, "Oh, look at that beautiful back shoulder throw." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? What?" Like, this guy literally has trouble completing a 15-yard pass, and you're telling me he's going to throw a back shoulder throw 40 yards down the field. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, these quarterbacks do that on the regular, and they mean it.
Baker Mayfield already.
That's the thing, is like, these guys do that continually, and Aaron Rodgers is the best of all time because that's how I feel about him. This year, he missed some of those throws. He had no connection with his wide receivers. Like, I'm telling you,
he got sacked 50 times.
Chemistry matters with his wide receivers. Like, he is such a timing-based quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, exact opposite this year. He legitimately gave his wide receivers 50-50 balls. He threw the ball off his back foot. He threw the ball running to his left. He threw the ball with his left hand. He threw the ball no look. Everything that could have gone his way this year did. And some of those things are not going to go his way in 2019, which is, it's fine. Again, I'm not saying the guy's going to be crap. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that Patrick Mahomes is going to be overdrafted. And because of that, I will not own him.
I think he's going to be overdrafted by a ton as well. And like, I like Patrick Mahomes. He's so much better than anyone would have thought he was. That includes myself. Here's the fact of the matter. Patrick Mahomes had an 8.6% touchdown rate. Anytime that has happened in history, they've always regressed below 6%. Tom Brady's career rate, we're talking about him as potentially the best ever, 5.5% touchdown rate. If you take Patrick Mahomes' 580 pass attempts and you give him a 5.5% touchdown rate, you know how many touchdowns he had? 32 touchdowns. He had 50 this year. That touchdown rate's going to go backwards. I don't know if he's under 40, but my guess is that he is. And I've still got him above Aaron Rodgers, but it is so much closer. Mahomes is going to be ADP 15. Rodgers is going to be ADP 45. It should be like 38 and 39.
Yeah, that's basically how I feel.
And Luck's right there with them at 50.
If you want to tell me that Mahomes, that you're going to draft him over Rodgers, I don't have like I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about that. But if you're going to tell me that you're going to draft Mahomes in the top two rounds, I will argue with that.
Yeah, so I've got Luck at number three. I'm assuming you do as well. I wouldn't draft anyone else in the top 100. I would draft Mahomes and Rodgers right at the, you know, start of the fourth round. I draft Luck in the fifth or sixth round. After that, my number four quarterback's probably Matt Ryan. I'd take him.
I have Russell Wilson, number four.
That's good, too. Yeah.
I don't think the ceiling is where it used to be, and that's fine. But I think you're getting a floor with Russell Wilson. Like, he's been so efficient this year. And that's the thing. His pass attempts are down because he's been so efficient. His touchdown rate is ridiculous. Like, Tyler Lockett is a guy that's going to be so overdrafted next year based on his touchdown rate in 2018. But, like, that next tier, it's like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Cam Newton. Those are the guys that are in that next tier for me. Like, I think they all present a solid floor in fantasy football. I don't think that they're going to come with, like, top two upside. I don't think any of those guys are going to, unfortunately. Russell Wilson has lost some of the ability to rush. Jared Goff takes a backseat to Todd Gurley sometimes. Deshaun Watson, his legs, he started using them more at the end of the season, so health could have had something to do with that. So if you want to take Deshaun Watson over Russell Wilson, I don't have an issue with it. And then Cam Newton, I mean, there's a lot of question marks with him. Like, the Panthers reportedly are looking into options to where maybe they don't bring back Cam Newton.
What?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that'd be a mistake. Even if Cam isn't the best passer, he is a quarterback that teams have to game plan for. Like, he's their quarterback.
Yeah, he wins you ball games for sure. There's not many quarterbacks you can say that about. Maybe 10.
Yeah, and then, like, Matt Ryan, like, you get to him. I know you said you'd probably have him at number four, but it's like this entire tier of quarterbacks. Like, I could see a case made for any of them.
There's not a big difference between number four and number 10.
Yeah, but Matt Ryan, like, his defense isn't going to be as bad as it was this year, so he's in turn not going to be throwing as many pass attempts. They're going to get Devonta Freeman back. Their run game should get bolstered a little bit. If there's one player that's like a dark horse to finish as top three quarterback, I think it's Jameis Winston.
I was going to say, I'm going to have a lot of shares. We're talking about all these guys that we have high in our rankings. I'm waiting at quarterback, and I'm going to have a lot of shares of Jameis Winston and Mitch Trubisky. Almost all my teams will have one of those two.
Yeah, I mean, the question I want to ask you, Bobby, is it's a question that I've like really been struggling with, because like, where do you rank Lamar Jackson heading into next year? Like
QB13.
QB13. So what are some of the names? Like, would you take him over Phillip Rivers?
Yes, I've got Phillip Rivers 14.
What about Wentz?
I've got Wentz 15, but that one's, yeah, they're all close, man.
And then Trubisky in that conversation too, like
Trubisky's my number 8 quarterback.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense, because I have Trubisky over Lamar Jackson, but I have both of them down at like 15 and 16, where I'm not like in love with them. Like, I feel like they're going to be good streaming quarterbacks, I really do. But Lamar Jackson, I mean, he started 7 games, he finishes a top 10 quarterback once in those games. I think Trubisky, I have him a little bit higher, because the rushing ceiling may not be near what it is with Lamar Jackson, but Trubisky offers a much higher passing ceiling. So it's like you're getting the combination of the two, and, you know, it'll be his third year in the league, second year under Matt Nagy. He should have a firmer grasp on the offense. So Trubisky's another one where I could definitely see him finishing as a top 8 quarterback that you can get outside the top 12.
Tags, are people going to draft Josh Allen as their QB1?
100%. It's going to happen. 100%. People are going to do it. Like, I don't know how high his ADP goes. Like, I think that I think max. I don't think his ADP is going to be higher than QB 18, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was.
I think it's going to be, man. I bet he gets drafted as QB 15 or 16.
Woo.
I'm not doing it, obviously. Baker Mayfield, do you have him in your top 12?
Mayfield he's actually at number 12.
Yeah, I've got him in my top 12 as well. All right, let's use that to transition to the mid rounds and go with some sleepers as well. Do you have someone in the third or fourth round that you were just salivating over?
Honestly, the third, fourth round, I think there's a reason that people tend to like have their guys in these rounds, because a lot of guys fall. Like T.Y. Hilton, I mentioned, he's going to be a guy that I'll probably own a lot of if he falls into the third round. Stephon Diggs, I like. I mean, I'm curious to see what happens in Minnesota with the offensive coordinator. Does he stay there? I don't know, because Stephon Diggs was being used in the slot a little bit more, because he'd be a guy that I'd be willing to take to fall in that grenade. Kenny Galladay is very interesting. Even with Marvin Jones coming back, I think that could actually help Kenny Galladay.
Galladay was my name I was going to use. If Chris Carson doesn't drop, I love him too. He'll probably go late second, I think.
I honestly don't know if Carson returns to the Seahawks. I think there's an interesting scenario where we see him traded or we see Rashad Penny traded. One of them. Because I don't think that they can go forward continuing to have two of these guys in the backfield just like locked up. And like, they're both guys that should be starting in the NFL. It's just, which one do they choose? Kerryon Johnson should probably be in that conversation for guys in the third, fourth round that, you know, could pop. Kerryon Johnson, when he got a bigger role, he was good. And LeGarrette Blount, let's be real, he's gone.
I thought you were going to say LeGarrette Blount in the third round.
No, he's gone.
Yeah, Sony Michel, someone I would love there as well. Kenny Galladay was the name I wanted to use, though, unless I can get George Kittle in the third round or Chris Carson, like I mentioned. So let's move on to the middle of drafts. Is there someone, Hunter Henry's my guy, obviously. Is there someone that you've got your eye on?
Yeah, it's really weird, because like a lot of the teams that are, you know, that you're tied to in this area, a lot of them are going to depend on coaches. And this is like the worst part of drafts to talk about. Like to be completely honest with you, if you're talking about like rounds 5 and 6, the reason I say that, do you know, Bobby, the best picks, like I'm doing an article that's coming out next week. It's called The Perfect 2018 Draft. So I went through consensus ADP and I said, what was the best pick you could have had in every single round? Okay. If you went by ADP. So we have 12 players to choose from in the fifth. We have 12 players to choose from in the sixth round. The best players I could find in those rounds were Mark Ingram and Sony Michel. Neither of them were like guys that won fantasy titles or anything like that. But that was the best of the bunch, like in that area. It just wasn't a good area to draft in, because people are taking players that they're not excited about, but they know that they're going to get some work. So that's kind of the area of the draft. So in that area, you're probably looking at guys like maybe like Lamar Miller. I mean, I wonder if Jerick McKinnon starts to fall into the fifth round now that he's been out for a year. Matt Breida showed that he was able to do some things. Corey Davis falls in that territory. It's just like, that's an area of drafts where it's ugly, because it's not, you're not in the area of sleepers yet. You're in the area of the guys that probably should be taken in the top 6 rounds, but you don't feel great about them.
I've got someone who's got a great floor and a great ceiling, Chris Godwin. I want him in the 5th, 6th round every draft.
He's someone I have as my number 30 wide receiver right now. And honestly, I'm a little standoffish. And here's why. Mike Evans isn't going anywhere. He's going to be there, right? Mike Evans had a 1,500 yard season. Okay. DeSean Jackson's gone. That's fine. Adam Humphries is there. O.J. Howard's coming back to the offense. They signed Cameron Brate to a stupid extension.
They might actually get a pass-catching running back.
well, Ronald Jones is probably, whoever the running back is going to have a bigger role in the passing game, but there's going to be a new head coach. And that's the really concerning part, because it depends on who they bring in. If they bring in a defensive minded coach, which it sounds like Tampa Bay wants to, because that defense was the reason for a lot of their struggles this year. So depending on who they hire for the coordinator, depending on who they bring in for the head coach, it will change the projection for this team drastically. And this is something I mentioned on Pat's podcast, is that if there's a lesson that you guys should really pay attention to this offseason, it's that if you have a player who's in the same on the same team, he's in the same offense with the same coach, same coordinators, there's not too much variation in those projections. Sure, people are going to overperform, a little bit underperform, but the ones who have the biggest volatility that can go us, they can skyrocket through the roof, or the ones that can fall, you know, through the floor, these are the ones that are getting the new head coaches. So these are the guys you have to pick. Godwin is one of those guys, where Godwin is super talented, but when Mike Evans is there, it's often difficult for a number two wide receiver to contribute to an offense like a top 24 wide receiver when there is someone like Mike Evans, when there is a tight end like OJ Howard. So that's something we have to pay attention to.
That's fair, man. I just think, you know, they're all going to be great. And I watched Chris Godwin play. I'm not saying he's as good as Mike Evans, but it is a lot closer than people realize. I think that it's more like a 1A, 1B type of scenario. Evans just got the targets. I think as Godwin continues to improve, he's going to be right there.
Yeah, they're different receivers in their own right. I actually think that Chris Godwin's the better, well-rounded receiver. I think Mike Evans is like the more physically gifted wide receiver. Like, he's the guy that can go up and get it. He tracks balls really well in the air. But Godwin is a better route runner. His hands are probably better than Mike Evans.
Best body control on the team for sure, maybe in the game.
He's fantastic. Like, he's a really good receiver, and that's why it's like, I have him at wide receiver 30 right now, but the coaching, whoever comes in there as the coach, will make a lot of difference.
Yeah. All right, let's go sleepers here. Who do you have?
I mean, if you go down the list, you're going to look at some guys. Like, I think Dante Pettis is someone that I know he had his year ended very early, and some people are going to be looking at last year's stats and they're going to kind of overlook Dante Pettis. But with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back, you know, with Pierre Garçon likely at the end of his career, I don't know if the 49ers go out there and get a number one wide receiver, but they almost have that in George Kittle. So Dante Pettis was able to perform with Kittle on the field. Pettis is usable all over the field. I feel like he's someone that's going to be extremely overlooked in 2019 drafts.
I got Curtis Samuel. I'm really glad that he played poorly at the end of the season, because I think a lot of people are going to forget about him. When he had Cam Newton and Curtis Samuel was finally in the starting lineup, he was humming, man. This boy can play some football.
For sure. Yeah. And that's the thing, is sleepers to me, like, you know, I was just talking about the players that can have like so much change, you know, like in the off season with the coaching changes, like that's where a lot of sleepers come from, because people don't expect it. As for Curtis Samuel, I'm really curious to see how people approach him in 2019 drafts, because he's someone that, no, he doesn't have a new coach. He has the same coordinator, same head coach, but as the year went on, I don't know if people realized how much of a full-time player he was in that offense. And if they decide to go forward with DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel as their top two receivers and kind of like just let Funchess go, it could be an interesting situation. Like, I just don't know if there's going to be enough consistency in that offense where I see Samuel is like an every week option.
Yeah. I don't know if he is an every week option, but you know, you play DeSean Jackson every week because 5 out of the 16 weeks, he's going to have a huge week, and you just accept the, you know, 3-point performances every once in a while. Uh-huh. I think that's who Samuel is. I want him as my wide receiver 3, and I think I can draft him as a wide receiver 5.
Here's a question for you. This is one I think we're probably both going to agree on, depending on who they bring in. What about Quincy Enunwa?
Quincy Enunwa is a good one. They just paid him big time.
They did, and that's the thing. And like, he's such a good football player. He really is, but he was just misused. Like, I don't think he's made for the perimeter. I think he's a big slot. And I think whoever comes in there as the head coach, if it's an offensive minded coach, I imagine it's going to be, because you have Sam Darnold, a young quarterback. I mean, if they bring in Mike McCarthy, I'm a little concerned. But Quincy Enunwa, he's definitely got the talent. And if Darnold takes a step forward in year two, I could definitely see him being a producer.
Yeah. Darnold loves Quincy Enunwa. Enunwa can be a target hog. And he's good. I don't know if they bring in anybody else, but if he's the number one wide receiver there next year, you can bet I'm drafting Quincy Enunwa once again. A few other names I have. I don't know if Elijah McGuire is really a sleeper. I think he's going to be the starting running back for the Jets. You can maybe get him in the 5th or 6th round, and he's going to be the guy that I want as my number 3 or number 4 running back on every team. If that's the case, he's a true 3-down back, game script proof. I think he's talented as well. And as Sam Darnold continues to get better, I think McGuire or whoever the Jets running back is going to be more useful. Also, if Leonard Fournette leaves, I'm sure that the Jags, this is just how it goes every year. There's going to be one team who has a hole at running back. They're not going to spend their first round pick on a running back or their second round pick. Just going to be some third round guy that no one's ever heard of. Whoever that's going to be, this Jags offensive line was decimated by injuries this year. Once they get healthy, they've got Norwell there. I think that the Jags running back, whoever it is, because of the system, could be in a really good situation to break out.
Ugh, I hate the coaching scenario there. Like, I feel like that team's moving in the wrong direction. I'm surprised that they retained Maroney. I don't know. I don't like it. And I like Leonard Fournette leaving would be the best thing for his value, to be honest with you. Like, I'm curious to see where he would go, but it seems like the Jags are pretty upset about it. And TJ Yeldon is also a free agent. I would say he's going to be a sleeper in drafts if you're drafting like now. Obviously, you know, the running backs I don't want to talk too much about just because that's all.
It all depends on the scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. Tevin Coleman's a free agent. Kareem Hunt obviously is a free agent. Jay Ajayi is a free agent. Mark Ingram is out there. Yeldon. Yeah. Le'Veon Bell. Like, all these guys are free agents. So it's like, I don't want to say what their value is, but TJ Yeldon is a three down back that has shown the ability to get it done in bad situations, honestly, with the Jacksonville team. So I think Yeldon is a better running back than people give him credit for. So he's definitely someone that I'm going to keep an eye on where he lands.
Two more names, Rashad Penny, because I think Chris Carson's going to go into the season as the starting running back, and we'll see what happens this offseason. Maybe they do trade Penny. Maybe they trade Carson. But you look at Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Philip Lindsay. What did all three of them have in common? They weren't the starting running back. And then they were. You want somebody in a high upside situation with high upside talent. I think that's Penny, and I want to own them in the preseason just in case something happens to Spencer Ware or Adrian Peterson or Royce Freeman and Rashad Penny ends up being a starter. And then Jake Kumerow. I think he's talented enough to be the number two receiver in Green Bay if they don't do anything through the draft or free agency. And Aaron Rodgers loves Kumerow, so I think he's going to kind of fly under the radar, kind of like Geronimo Allison did this year.
Yeah, Kumerow is an interesting one. He's someone to pay attention to. And like, people are forgetting about Geronimo Allison, the fact that he was actually able to be relied upon at the beginning of the season. So it wouldn't shock me if we go into 2019 and we see Davante Adams, Geronimo Allison on the perimeter, and we see Valdez-Scantling in the slot, because Valdez-Scantling actually played well in the slot. He struggled in the perimeter role once Randall Cobb came back. Cobb is a free agent. I'm pretty sure that Green Bay is done with him. They're moving on. So Kumerow is someone to watch, though, because can he win that job from Allison? Yeah, I don't think Allison's like a physically dominant wide receiver or anything like that you have to draft. So that's an interesting one to pay attention to, because whoever the number two Green Bay receiver is, they're probably going to be underdrafted.
All right, Tags, let's go playoff predictions, and we'll just go one game at a time here. Give me the winner and the score of the Indianapolis at Houston game.
All right, so I'm taking Indianapolis in this game +2.5. The over-under is at 47.5. I'm taking the over. I will say Indianapolis 27, Houston 23.
I've got 31-23 for the Colts.
Nice.
What about the Chargers and the Ravens?
Chargers-Ravens, I'm picking the Ravens in that game. I just don't like the way that the Chargers offense looked against the Ravens just a couple weeks ago. The Ravens are a pretty hot team. They're going to keep running the ball, and it just so happens that the Chargers have been struggling to stop the run as of late. So I'm going to take Baltimore -2.5 points. I will also take the under on 41.5. So I will say Baltimore 20, LA 17.
Man, nobody wants to see the Ravens in the playoffs. And I understand that the Chargers struggled at home, which there's really no such thing as a home game in Los Angeles since they're not very good football fans. What a shame, man.
It is.
It just stinks. They moved two teams there. Give me a break.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Anyway, I know it didn't go as well, but I think the Chargers are the best team in football, best complete team in football. They haven't been playing as well lately, but I've got them going on the road to Baltimore and beating them 19-17.
Nice. I mean, I root for the Chargers. I do, because I just feel like that team is a well-rounded team. But yeah, I feel like Phillip Rivers could be like the Dan Marino of this generation. I mean, he's not that good, but he's a very good quarterback.
I mean, he's nowhere close to Dan Marino. I think Dan Marino is probably the second best or third best quarterback of all time, behind Rodgers, maybe Brady as well. Marino's amazing. But anyway, let's move on over to the next game, to the NFC, where we've got Dallas against Seattle. Who are you taking?
I will take Dallas here. I'm also going to take the over in this game. I think both defenses have started to struggle a little bit as the year's gone on. Seattle, like, that secondary, ever since their bye, hasn't been the same. Dallas's defense, like, they obviously have the starters out there for this game against the Giants, and they struggled to win that game. So, I mean, Dallas is at home, but I'll take them here, and I'm going over. I think this game totals more points than people think. I am going to go 24-20.
I've got 27-20 Dallas, Seattle. We're pretty close on a couple of these. I agree. Dallas at home, I've got them over Seattle. If it was in Seattle, I'd take it the other way, though.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago, Philly.
Yeah, the Bears game is interesting. This is the one I just started getting into, and I have to wrap up once we do the finish the podcast. But the Bears giving 6 points, it feels expensive. It does. Like, playoff games should be decided by obviously less than a touchdown, and we're talking about 6 points here. Foles, the interesting thing with Foles, okay, the Bears do bring a lot of pressure, and in Chicago, they've been phenomenal. They've only allowed 2 passing touchdowns over the last 4 games. But the thing is about Nick Foles, what I found interesting, under pressure, he's the number one quarterback in football of those who have played 25% of the snaps. So oddly enough, his quarterback rating does not change very much when he's not pressured. So he's like the same quarterback no matter what. He's willing to throw it up and give his wide receivers a chance. And that might not be a good thing against the Bears, who
I was going to say
had 27 interceptions this year, by far the most in the NFL. Philly doesn't force turnovers on defense. Their run defense has been struggling quite a bit. People don't realize just Philly's defense is just, there's so many injuries that they've suffered. I do think the Bears win this game, but I don't think I can give 6 points. I say the Bears win this one 20-17.
Our manager is going to hate this. I have the Eagles getting whooped. I don't think they really belong in the playoffs. Like, they're not a top 12 team in the NFL. Sure, they snuck in and everything. Good for them. It was a great comeback. But the Bears, I mean, they're one of the top 5 teams in the NFL. I've got the Bears winning this one 27-7.
27-7. Wow.
I mean, this isn't my projection. This is my prediction.
Right. I could see 23-17 it being a push. I could see that happening. But yeah, I've actually talked to him about that, and he actually thinks that the Bears are set up well in this game and that the Bears should win.
All right, let's go to the second round then. You've got Indianapolis going up against Kansas City. I do as well. Who are you taking?
Kansas City.
Okay.
Kansas City at home is a tough team to beat. At home,
one of the toughest places to play.
Yeah, it really is. And to know that they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, that's massive for them because they play so much better there. So I'd definitely take the Chiefs in that one.
I know this is going to upset some people, especially because a lot of people have accused me of being anti-Chiefs, which is so funny because we were so pro-Chiefs last year. I just think they're overrated. This defense is just terrible.
They've really struggled as of late.
Last 6 weeks, the Colts have one of the best 10 defenses in the league. They might have the best offensive line in the league. They've got Andrew Luck, who in the playoffs right now, we've seen playoff Andrew Luck. I would take him over Patrick Mahomes. We don't know what Mahomes is going to do. He was the best quarterback this year, not even close. He's the clear-cut MVP, but I'm taking Luck over Mahomes. I'm taking their offensive line. I'm taking their defense. I got the Colts winning this bad boy 41-34 in Kansas City.
Wow, that's bold, man. I'll take Kansas City in that one, though.
All right, let's go with New England. You've got them against Baltimore. I have them against the Chargers.
New England wins.
Okay. Let me ask you a trivia question, okay? This is really, it blew my mind when I saw this. So you've obviously got the Ravens as the number one defense in points against in the AFC. Number two is Tennessee. Number three is Houston. Who's number four?
That's a good question. Is it the Patriots?
It's the Patriots. Did you know that?
I did not know that. It was purely a guess, but their offense isn't what carried them to their record this year. Honestly, their offense was mediocre, to say it, like, for the most part. But yeah, Tom Brady in the playoffs, I can't take Lamar Jackson over Brady in a playoff game.
You know, I tweeted out earlier my predictions, and I had the Chargers win in the Super Bowl. Guys, I got to change it. When I realized the Patriots' defense had been this good, they're also 8-0 at home. I got to take the Patriots in this game, guys.
Yeah, I would take the Patriots in that game, but I do think that the Patriots would lose next week to the Chiefs.
Okay, so we'll get there in just a minute. Let's go to the NFC, though. I've got New Orleans against Dallas. You do as well.
Yeah, New Orleans.
How close is it?
Not very at all.
Okay, I've got New Orleans 17-16 against Dallas. I love Dallas defense.
They've been struggling a little bit more as of late. I think they can be exposed. I think the Saints just had a bad game when they went into Dallas, and they rectify that back at home. Drew Brees is essentially going to have 3 weeks off before his game. And, like, you know, while breaks can be bad to ruin flow, like, I think he needed the break.
Maybe if you don't know what to do with a break, but Drew Brees is fine with a break.
Yeah, but the thing is, he wasn't even in a hot streak, so I think it was better that he took some time off. But Brees in the playoffs at home, yeah, I'll take him.
All right, Rams, Bears.
That game, it would be closer than I think people think. I think the Bears match up extremely well with that team. The offensive line.
We already saw it.
Yeah, I mean.
But it's not going to be 20 degrees in Chicago. It's going to be 65 degrees in Los Angeles.
Correct. It's going to be in L.A., and that's why I would give the edge to L.A. in that game. I think L.A. would be favored by maybe 3 points, 2.5 maybe. I would say that the Rams should be the favorite in that game, and that I'd probably project them to win.
I've got the Rams 24-13 over the Bears. So let's go to the championship games. I've got Indianapolis and New England, and you have the Kansas City Chiefs in New England. You already picked Kansas City?
Yeah, I'll take Kansas City at home. Like, I just feel the game was in New England, I would take the Patriots, but being it's in Kansas City, I think that Mahomes carries the torch for the AFC.
I know this is going to be considered bold. I'm not doing this for hyperbole. if the Colts traveled to New England with the way they're playing lately on defense, with their offensive line, with playoff Andrew Luck, I'm taking the Colts winning in New England.
I would root for that. Actually,
torch being passed from Brady to Andrew Luck as the AFC quarterback.
That'd be awesome. That would be so awesome. And Andrew Luck is such a good dude. He's like, he had an interview the other day and he was just like, we're in playoffs. Like, we're playing another week. He's like, this is freaking awesome. And, and like, you can just tell he's just like a, oh golly type of guy. And it's just, it's pretty funny. Like, he just seems like a genuinely, like, there's some guys out there. Like, I watch Tom Brady in interviews. And I'm like, this guy seems like he could be pretty mean at times. And we've seen that. Whereas Andrew Luck, I feel like he's just like the nicest guy ever. And I really do. Those are the guys I root for.
Like, people are so mad at Baker Mayfield's mentality and everything and like yelling at people. Like,
Andrew Luck's the opposite.
There's so much of Tom Brady like that. But yeah, Andrew Luck is just, he's the nicest guy in the world.
He is. He is. He's like a Peyton Manning. He's perfect Peyton Manning replacement.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's a good way to put it. Okay, so Saints, Rams, who do you have going to the Super Bowl?
I'm
going to
go Saints.
Okay, so you got Saints against the Chiefs.
It has to go through New Orleans, and that's tough to do. I'll take the guys that have the home field advantage in the playoffs. So it goes to, and then the Super Bowl, I will take the Saints over the Chiefs.
Okay, I've got the Saints whooping the Rams 38-17, and then I'm taking the Saints over Indianapolis. Can you imagine Drew Brees, Andrew Luck shooting it out in the playoffs?
It'd be awesome.
Yep, that would be a lot of fun. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Tweet at us at Mike Tagliere NFL and at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Tweet us your playoff predictions. And thank you all for listening this year. Don't forget, we've got plenty of off-season episodes coming up and DFS shows for the playoffs. We really appreciate all your support. And thanks to DraftKings.com for putting on that contest for us. You can find it at fantasypros.com/contest. Get your chance for free to win $1 million. And thanks to the sponsor of today's show, pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble. There's no distance too far for the perfect trip. Hi, checking in for... Or the perfect table. Hey, where are you? Coming! And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card... Hey, this looks amazing! I'm so glad you made it. And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA. You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.